Grab your Bibles, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And if you don't know Christ as your Savior this morning, if you're not sure on those things, if you don't know that heaven is your home, I want you to know that you can know. Amen? And you can pillow your head tonight not wondering if you're going to heaven. You can pillow your head tonight knowing without a doubt that Jesus Christ is your personal Lord and Savior, that you are saved, that you have a home in heaven. If you have questions about that, we want to help you. And we have several people here who would be more than happy to help you with that. And we'll have an opportunity at the end of the service for you to respond in that manner, just to say, you know what, I want to know. I want to know more about what the Bible says about how I can go to heaven. And we'll be happy to show you those things. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, if you would, in your Bible, stand with me in honor of God's word, if you're able to. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 7. The Bible says, "Unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh." We'll talk about what those revelations were here in a minute. Paul had received some revelations, and Paul said, God had a plan for me to not get too prideful because of what he had given me. "There was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me." That's not buffet, you know, like, you know, a smorgasbord of food, all right? Buffet, as in, you know, to pommel. "Lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." It ought to be our desire to have the power of Christ rest upon us. Amen? That ought to be our first desire. As a dad, you need that. As a father, you need God's power. As a mom, you need God's help, don't you? As a wife, you need his power. In every situation of life we can think of, if you're going to try to live a godly life at the workplace, you're kind of going to need God's power. If you're going to try to live a godly life at a public school, you kind of need God's power to help you with that, don't you? You need God's power. That was Paul's desire. And so he was going to glory in the infirmity that God gave him, the thorn in the flesh. He said, if this is what it takes for me to have God's power, I'll take it. "Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong." Let's pray, and we'll get into it this morning. Our God in heaven, Lord, I need you. This morning, we just acknowledge that. We just talked about how we need you in every area. I kind of need your power right now. I know it's not in me. It's in you. It's in your words. It's in the Holy Spirit. And so I want to be out of the way. But I do want to be a vessel in your hands, and I want to be used of you. I don't deserve it. I don't look back at my life and see anything that I've ever done to deserve to preach your word or to be a pastor of this wonderful church or to stand here. But you've, for some reason, counted me worthy, as Paul said. It's because of the righteousness of Christ and his blood, not mine. Lord, we don't deserve to be standing here holding your word, let alone knowing for sure that we can go to heaven when we die. We don't deserve the salvation you provide to all those who accept you by faith. Lord, we don't deserve your help. We don't deserve your power. But we want to claim the truths of your word, and we want to accept the fact that you have promise us those things. And we need to learn some lessons here from Paul that will help us. He was inspired to write these words. Your word is preserved for our learning. So, Lord, I pray you'd help us to do just that. And I pray this in your holy and precious name. Amen. Thank you so much. You can be seated. I get a little PTSD, and I say I don't mean that jokingly, as in, because I know some struggle with that in reality in life. Okay, but I can also say it a little lightheartedly because it's not that big of a deal. It's just I say it more along the lines of, it's a reminder. When I walk back to that sound booth, I see Brother Glenn sitting in the stool, and I immediately remember some things that come back to mind. That would be, and I'm not talking about this for sympathy or anything like that. It's really not that big of a deal, but it's an illustration of what I want, the truth I want to get across today. I think the Lord has laid on my heart today to bring across. And when I look at this stool, I think of weakness. When I look at the stool, I think of frailty. I do. When I look at the stool, I think of inability. I think of, man, I don't want to use that thing ever again, is what I think. And some of you might already be putting two and two together and putting the pieces together here. I'm not going to go through a lot of details. I don't want to get off track and put attention where it doesn't need to be put. But this was a tool that I used for a few months as a preacher when I got blood clots in my lungs, the pulmonary embolisms, and it shut things down. And some may or may not realize, and it's okay not to put attention on this, but some may or may not realize that I did almost die, and I wasn't in the hospital very long. Once they realized he's not going to die, we don't have very many beds for a bunch of people, then go home, you know? I think on normal situations, normal time of life, like maybe now, I might have been in there a little longer, but they said these beds are for people who, you know, we realized that they may or may not make it. So once they realized that, they sent me home, and I was glad to go home. I didn't want to stay there for sure. And I remember my wife posted something on Facebook saying, I'm busting him out of here, you know? He's getting out. And so it was just, I was praising the Lord, but I was weak. And interesting that this came up this morning in conversation. Not that I brought it up, but it did come up, and so I referenced it in that conversation. It was like a day after that I decided to try to get on the roof of the parsonage and take a leaf blower and blow off the leaves out of the gutter. That was the dumbest thing I've ever done in my entire life. I'm very surprised that it fall off, you know. But things just progressively started getting worse in my strength from that point. And I know everybody who had COVID, including myself, you just had weak. You couldn't walk from point A to point B without breathing heavy and without, you know, feeling like you're going to collapse. And I get all that. But for me, even going past that whole lethargicness of that COVID mess, how many hate the word COVID? Raise your hand. I hate even saying it. But it was there, all right? It was real. So anyways, getting all past all of that, I still had those blood clots that had the infarctions, and they basically imploded. Instead of traveling my brain, which is what the doctor said, look, these are not going to go to your brain. You're not going to have a stroke, but they're going to be here a long time, and they're going to infarct. That's a weird word. I sounded like I'm saying something else, right? And they're going to implode inside, and they did. And I mean, they just literally, it's like they blew up in there. And so obviously I had lung issues that I dealt with, and I think I'm still dealing with. And I can't count how many CT scans I had, and every one of them were not good. There wasn't a good CT scan. And then lo and behold, at the last CT scan, after everything was clear enough to look at all the details, they found that I had a paralyzed diaphragm. And so that's just something that, you know, I got to deal with the rest of my life. And it is a little bit of something I'm still dealing with, and something that I have to struggle through and things like that. Okay, it's a part of life, no problem. It is a little bit of a thorn in the flesh for me. And it is a struggle. And I know other people have their own thorns in the flesh. And again, I'm not looking for pity. I'm just using this as a personal experience illustration of something that I'm going through.
But during that time where it was just really hard, for the first month and a half, almost 2 months, I couldn't preach. And we just kept scheduling people. Miss Tracy kept saying to me, can we afford this? And I'm like, we're going to have to afford this. You know, and our people were good and giving. And Lord, we didn't couldn't just afford it. We over and abundantly were able to provide in that manner from our church family, just continuing to give sacrificially. I look back now and a little bit of tear comes in my eyes, just seeing how good God was during that time and providing and the grace that he showed through God's people during that time. And then hearing about a few other pastors that also had pulmonary embolisms in their lungs as a result of this COVID mess, and a couple of them, it wasn't that big of a deal. It was a few days and it was gone. They didn't have to deal with any after effects. And then one friend of mine who was a friend a while back, we're not so close now, and that's okay. I'm not saying that it's a bad thing, but his name's Kenny Baldwin, and he's a preacher, but he still sits in a stool to this day. And we talked back then, and he was able to help me through some things. But after I was actually able to come back to preaching, I felt so embarrassed, so weak to have to sit here and preach through. And so I prayed for God's strength to help with that time. And God certainly helped. And a lot of this was people out here, that all you were was encouraging and helpful to me. And it didn't seem like that big of a deal maybe to you. But internally, it was a struggle. Internally, it was a challenge for the pastor to do that. Pray for God's grace and God's strength through that situation. And then talking with Brother Kenny Baldwin, this was in 2021. He started his mess in the beginning of 2000. Well, after COVID, he was one of the first ones in America, I think, to get it. I mean, it was the spring of 2020 when he got his. So he had been dealing with it for almost a year and a half by the time I was in conversation with him, and he still wasn't out of stool, and he still isn't today. And so in that time, I had these thoughts coming through my mind, like, am I ever going to get out of this? And yes, I'm looking back now at a story of just seeing God's grace and God's help in all of that. And I still struggle a little bit. I know I'm loud. Maybe you should be glad that half my diaphragm is paralyzed. Amen. I could be a lot louder. Somebody like, he preaches long. I could preach a lot longer. I'm just saying, you need to look for the silver lining in the clouds. All right, y'all. But it was a struggle. And so when I see this, I do. I can't help but look at it. And this is why, brother, I told Brother Glenn I needed a stool out here. He's like, well, we use the stools. I'm like, I need that stool. He's like, you can't have the stool. And I'm like, Brother Glenn, I need that stool. And this is why. The conversation didn't go that way. It wasn't like that. But it's like, fine, take it. But anyways, so we brought a stool up from downstairs. It could have been any stool. This is the one. And I look at that and I'm like, ah. I think about it. But then I look back at it and I'm thankful. I'm thankful that God helped me through. And he gave me strength. And I still struggle. I can, you know, and I'm not, again, it's not pity. I'm just explaining some things about an ongoing struggle here, that everybody has their ongoing struggles that they deal with. And so I'm not trying to make myself get attention that others, you know, I have gone through something that nobody understands. That's not what I'm talking about at all. There are people in our church right now who are going through very difficult physical situations that nobody else knows about. Some might be aware of. I'm thinking of one individual right now. I'm not going to name names. One individual right now who every day is in pain. Every single day. That some of us would just say, I want to give up. And I respect. And I'm thankful for individuals like that who just keep serving the Lord, keep putting a smile on their face, and keep encouraging others. But if I have to breathe fast, it's hard, one, because I'm out of shape, okay? But even being in shape, I can't. I get a panic attack. I,
kind of hyperventilate a little bit. And so it's just, it is that difficulty that I have to deal with. Now I think about something like that, spiritually speaking. It's hard to go through physical difficulties. But do you ever feel too weak to go through the situations the Lord allows in your life? Do you ever feel insufficient to fulfill the responsibility that you have? I felt insufficient to fulfill the responsibility as a pastor. I still feel insufficient to do so. I feel that insufficiency every single day, but I especially did at that time. How am I going to keep doing this? Do you ever feel completely inadequate, moms, to be a good mom? Dad? Do you feel inadequate to be a good wife or a good husband? Godly? Encouraging to somebody? While we all face feelings of weakness, we all have to sit in our stool. There's good news. There is good news. And we see that good news here in the story regarding Paul. Because, listen, I have a heavenly Father whose strength has no limits whatsoever. There's nothing God cannot do. And when our strength is completely gone and we feel trapped in the depths of our own weakness, we are in a position then to see God's strength firsthand and God's power firsthand in our lives. Our greatest need, your greatest need, is God's strength in your life. When we come to God with our stool, and we say, God, I need your strength in this. I need you to help me with this. I'm too weak for this. I'm too inadequate to handle this. I don't have the ability to be what you want me to be or do what you want me to do. I don't have the wherewithal or the strength or the... Sometimes I feel like I can't breathe. And I need your help. God gladly takes it and shows us how powerful He is. Whenever you go through a challenge, a thorn in the flesh, as Paul called it, instead of praying to God to take it away, pray to God to show His strength. I know some of you, I guess maybe over here, can't see this, and you don't have to see it. You get the idea, but I'll move it back over here for you. I had to get to the place where I just said, okay, God, if this is what you have for me, this is what you have for me. I need your strength through it. Obviously, I don't need it. Praise God for that. But I had to get to the place where I'm like, okay, your will, God, your will. God showed His strength to Paul. And I just want to say this morning that God wants to show His strength to you. So we see in the thorn in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7, unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me. This word thorn is not the same word for the crown of thorns that was placed on Jesus' head. Guess what the Greek word for the word thorns is, for the crown of thorns? Guess what the meaning of the word is? The Greek word for thorn, when it talks about the crown of thorns placed on Jesus' head, guess what it is? Guess what it means? It means thorns. Glad you came to church this morning. It just means thorns. When it says that there was a crown of thorns placed on Jesus' head, it meant there was a crown of thorns placed on His head. Matthew 27:29, and when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it upon His head,
and a reed in his right hand. They bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." 5 weeks from now, we'll be celebrating the resurrected Christ. And we'll be talking about in the coming weeks, coming Sundays, some things leading up to the resurrected Christ. But the word here in our text for thorns, the Greek word, the definition, is talking about a prickle or a spike figuratively. It refers to a disability or an annoyance, a hindrance. This is the only time in the Bible that that particular Greek word is used, by the way. And we don't really know what Paul's thorn in the flesh was or why he referred to it in such a way, but we knew it was painful, we know it was hard for him, we know it was difficult, and there's other passages in the Bible that might indicate that his thorn in the flesh was some type of physical defect. Some referred to something regarding his eyesight. But whatever it is, on three occasions, Paul asked the Lord to take this thorn away from him, but God chose not to. And maybe Paul thought, you know, I could do so much more for the Lord if I didn't have this in my life. Just imagine the things that I could do if this wasn't a struggle for me. Imagine how great I would be if I didn't have this difficulty. Imagine how much better off I'd be, or how much happier I'd be, or how much more I could do if this wasn't a hindrance in my life. A thorn in the flesh actually is something, when you study it out more, it's excruciating. It's handicapping. Is that a word? It is weakening to you. It doesn't just slow you down. Sometimes it's where you say, I don't know how I'm going to do this. And if you put a literal spike in any part of your body, you'd kind of be in excruciating pain, don't you think? In the same way, a figurative spike, it could come in many forms. We talked about physical defects, sicknesses, a life failure maybe in your life, something you look back on and just something failed, a family situation, maybe it's a strained relationship. Just a continual strained relationship. Just constant. Maybe an inability to be what you think you should be or what society expects from you. How difficult that might be. Could be a variety of things. But a thorn in the flesh is something that often brings pain every time it comes to mind. Now, looking at this, this isn't a wound. It's a scar. And there's a difference. There's a difference between wounds and scars. You have had wounds, but given time and handled in the right way and in God's plan, through the help of God's word and the Holy Spirit, those wounds can turn into scars. It's something that's a reminder, but it's not something that hurts any longer. There are some things in our lives that probably shouldn't hurt anymore that do. Sometimes there are some thorns that will continue to cause us inability. So I noticed we looked at what it was. It was a thorn, but we know when it came. And that's what I referenced earlier when we were reading the scripture. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. So we began in verse 7, but let's go back to verse 1. And it's telling us about the verses that kind of preceded what Paul was talking about in his thorn in the flesh. Verse 1, it is not expedient for me doubtless to glory. It wouldn't be a good idea for me to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ. This is his revelation that God gave him. About 14 years ago, whether in the body cannot tell, whether out of the body cannot tell, God knoweth, such an one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body cannot tell, God knoweth. Even Paul saying, I don't know. So we don't know. Don't try to explain it. Paul couldn't explain it. All right? Right? How that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such an one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, which he had an abundance of revelations. But unless I should be exalted above measure because of those sayings, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. We see Paul's humility in the latter part of the chapter. He refers to the man in Christ. He's referring to himself. Paul had the opportunity to see the third heaven. Say, what are you talking about? I'm not 100% sure. I know John was able to see the third heaven. We got the revelation of John at the end of the book. So it's a privilege that, as far as we know, no one else but the Apostle John and Paul was able to receive. And it would have been easy for Paul to say, hey, you know what I was able to experience? You know what I was able to, God allowed me to go through? I saw the third heaven. Let me tell you about it. You won't understand. Paul didn't understand. He admitted that. It would have been easy for Paul to become filled with pride because of this privilege given to him by God. But Paul was humbled by the thorn in the flesh. This was right after a major spiritual victory. That's when it came. And sometimes the Lord allows us maybe to have a thorn in the flesh after a major spiritual victory, right after maybe a mountaintop experience. God desires to keep us from the sin of pride. Let me say that again. God desires to keep us from the sin of pride. What does God have to do to keep you from the sin of pride? For some, it's something a little more extreme than others. So often he needs to take us to a valley where we can depend on him. You say, well, why did it come? There are multiple reasons why the Lord would allow the thorn in the flesh in your life. Notice these three. First of all, the hunger of self. Paul's thorn came, and the result of it was it created in him a hunger for God. And some of us can say that we have experienced things in our lives that caused us to go to God where we otherwise would not have gone to God. Some of the most meaningful times I've had with the Lord were a result of a difficulty or a trial or a situation. And I don't know, I cannot say for sure that I would have, in fact, I can say for sure, let me reverse that. I can say for sure that I would not have had those times if it wasn't for those difficulties. There are times where I've had the most meaningful communication with God because of what it was that came into my life. And as we grow in our Christian lives, it can become so easy to be consumed with doing things for God that we neglect to get to know God. And we lack the spiritual hunger to know him personally. It can be easy to serve him, to meet our needs, rather than for us to fill up on his word. I can't help but think of Mary and Martha. Brother Schwenke referenced them last week. Mary did that part that was good. Martha was cumbered about with much serving. And she focused on her service for God, and that's a good thing. But Mary focused on her love for God. Martha invested her time in doing things for God, while Mary invested her time in being someone for God, being with God. At the end of the day, Mary was the one that pleased Christ better. And he said in verse 42 of Luke 10, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. And when God allows us to have a thorn in the flesh, we come to see just how much you need God. When God allows you to go through a situation, you come to find out, you know what? I need God to help me in this. I need God in my life. A thorn in the flesh forces us to step aside from everything we're doing to look at Christ and look at what he's done. And God uses these to bring us closer to him. So why did it come? The hunger for the Lord. Why else did it come? The hatred by Satan. Did you notice what Paul said? The messenger of Satan to buffet me. Sometimes God allows Satan to attack us. He does. God allows it. How do you know? Think of Job. God allowed it. God gave Satan permission to attack Job with a thorn. I'll read a couple of verses. Job 2, verse 6. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, he is in thine hand, but save his life. Job experienced nearly every type of hardship imaginable. I mean, the loss of possessions, the loss of cattle, the loss of all of his substance, and the loss of his family. His wife betrayed him pretty much. His health failed him. His friends rebuked him. God said in Job 2 verse 6, and the Lord said unto Satan, behold, he is in thine hand, but save his life. And Job said in Job 23 verse 10, but he knoweth the way that I take. And when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as what? Gold. The trial produced gold. The book of Job has testified for over 3,000 years of the power of God. And as a result of Job's trials, God's power is manifested. And as a result of your trials, God's power is also displayed. Your greatest need is God's greatest opportunity to show his strength. So we have the hunger for God, the hatred by Satan, and then we have the honoring of the Savior. The thorn in your flesh is your way to honor God. Your greatest need is not only God's greatest opportunity, but it is also your opportunity to honor God. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 10. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then am I strong. As you endure trials, you honor your Savior by coming to him to seek his strength. You honor him. Whatever your need is, you can come to God. What need are you dealing with right now? What situation? Just answer that in your own mind and in your own heart. What is it that you're going through? What difficulty and trial are you going through right now? And let me ask you this. Are you going to God with it? Are you praying about it? Well, I prayed about it. No. So I didn't ask you, prayed once. Are you praying about it? You know, I believe in praying for something until there's some sort of resolve. For Paul, the resolve was God giving him peace about it and saying, look, this is something you're going to have because you can't have my strength without it. That was resolve for Paul. Sometimes resolve is a situation where we pray for somebody. Brother Andrew Rodriguez, we prayed and we prayed and we prayed. And we determined we're going to keep praying until there's resolve. Either she's healed from the situation that she's going through or the Lord takes her home. And now our prayer is for strength for Brother Andrew, prayer for strength for the kids as they're going through this difficulty. So I'm asking you in the situation that you're going through right now and the difficulty and the thorn in the flesh that you have in your life, are you continuing to pray till there's some sort of result? Is it something that you're continuing to bring before God? Because the Bible says in Hebrews 4:16, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. That, what is that, Pastor? That's praying. I can come before him that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Don't you need God's help in your time of need? Do. Look at verse 9. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. That's enough. That's what that's saying. It's more than enough. It's sufficient. It's all you need. It's more than what you need. Paul, what you need is not to have this thorn removed. What you need is my grace. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in Paul now speaking. He said, this is what God said. God said, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Now we have Paul. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Because of what this thorn did in Paul's life, he was overwhelmed. It was too much for him. It was too hard. It was too difficult. It was more than what he could handle. And so he goes to God. And he asks God to remove the thorn. And God says no 3 times. He was overruled by God. I'm overwhelmed, God. I can't handle this situation I'm going through. So I'm coming before you. And I'm asking you to remove this. But God might overrule you. Say no. You need this in your life because you'll be able to experience my power in your weakness. And as a result of that, when Paul realized, you know what? This is what God said to me. And now I'm going to glory in it. In distresses and persecutions and in this thorn in the flesh. And he was overwhelmed at first. And then he was overruled, but then became overjoyed because of what God had said to him, what God had done for him, and the power that God had given him. And I want you to understand, you can go from being overwhelmed to being overjoyed if you'll submit to God overruling in your life. But this is necessary for you to get to here. You've got to allow him to overrule in your life. Admit you're overwhelmed, but if you can do that, you'll be overjoyed for what God can do for you. He learned that the thing that was holding him back was the very thing that was making him better. Maybe you ought to learn that. What an amazing thought, strength out of weakness. Because the times when we're cast down, the times when we're discouraged, the times when we are defeated, we can become the strongest we've ever been. That's why I said, when I'm weak, then am I strong. So what is, don't answer out loud, what is the most restricting trial you've ever experienced? What has occurred in your life that made you think, that's it, I quit. I'm done. How many like seatbelts? Raise your hand. How many are fine with seatbelts? They don't bother you. How many are like, I can't stand seatbelts? They're restricting. How many of you have experienced the necessity of a seatbelt? How many of you wish you were wearing a seatbelt when you needed one? And be like, okay, I've got a couple of hands up there. They're restricting, you know? How many of you have ever ridden a roller coaster that you go upside down on? All right. How many of you are taller than 5 feet 11 inches? Raise your hand. Those harnesses aren't built for us. They hurt. You sit down and these, whatever those things are called, I guess they're harnesses, those shoulder things that kind of go come down and then you strap it in right there at the waist. And I'm like, I can't stand this thing. I hate it. I don't want to be in it. It's like, I love roller coasters. I think they're fun. But I'm just like, I mean, my body, my torso is taller than what that thing allows. And so it kind of squished. So I'm like, bent down. And I'm in that thing. And I mean, I'm like, let's go. Let's do this. And then when we're going, we're like, ooh, you know, you take off and everybody wants to put their arms up. People, I can't put my arms up in those things. Everybody's like, woo! I'm like, oh, I can't get up there. I'm like, I can't stand this. But when we go upside down, guess what? I'm really glad it's there. I'm really, and then all my, you know, now everybody feels upside down what I feel the whole time. All your weight, you know, you're upside down, all your weight is now on your shoulders. And that thing, you're like, you know, there's a ride called brain damage. Brain damage is, self-explanatory. You have to have brain damage to ride it. But you go upside, you know, you kind of go like this and then like this, kind of like that pirate ship does, right? But you keep going like this, back and forth, and goes higher and higher. And then all of a sudden it just stops when you're upside down. You're upside down and it just stops. And you're just hanging there. And all the blood's rushing to your head. And everybody's going, woo, 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 woo. That's what you hear. This hurts. But they're glad those shoulder harnesses are there. Because then it'll be, that wouldn't be any good. It's interesting with that a restriction is what keeps us where we need to be. The thing we think is holding us down the most might be what's helping us the most. Because we're going to have to be empty before God can fill us. We're going to have to be broken before God can fix us. We've got to be needy before He'll give to us. We've got to be cast down before God can lift us up. And that's why Paul said, He's made perfect. This is awesome right here. That phrase, is made perfect. Somebody help me. How many words is that phrase? Is made perfect. I mean, I know we're from Leavenworth, Kansas, so let's try it again. How many words is made perfect? Three. Three words. There's one Greek word for those three words. Is made perfect. In verse 10, there's one Greek word for it. It's from this Greek word that we get three other words that Jesus said. When he was on the cross, and when Jesus said, it is finished. It's the same Greek word for is made perfect. The same word. In his sixth statement on the cross, when he said, it is finished. And when Paul said, I'm strengthened through him, through Jesus, who said it is finished, our strength is completed, our strength is perfected, it is finished. We don't need to add anything to the strength that God gives us. It's enough to meet whatever needs that you might have. It's complete. It's perfect. And if we ever find ourselves desperately consumed by thorns in our flesh, you can rest assured that God's strength is enough. I said, you can rest assured that God's strength is enough. His strength is perfect. His strength is sufficient for anything you might face. One of the most encouraging aspects of this is how Paul gained spiritual victory through this. And as we're pricked by our own thorn in the flesh, you can enjoy that victory. He recognized his weakness. That's a primary qualification for serving God. Recognize an honest acknowledgement of your inability. You've got to grasp that truth. It's a paramount truth to grasp. God will not use us unless we sense a deep, profound inadequacy in our lives. If you're walking around saying, I got this, I can handle this. Let me show you my talents and my abilities. Let me tell you what I would do in this situation. No, we've got to rest and depend on God. It is what you do not have that makes God look upon you and say, look at what I can do. You put yourself in a position to see God's power that way. Acknowledge your weakness and then rely on His strength. If Paul was unable to bear his thorn in the flesh from apart from the power of Christ, can't we admit the same thing about our thorn? There's no reason for you to try to bear your burden alone. God's not interested in using the puffed up or the prideful. God's interested in using somebody who says, I don't have impressive credentials. I'm not all that. And a bowl of grits or a box of chocolates or whatever you might want to call it. I am not anything special in and of myself. God is interested in using people who are admittedly weak and dependent on his strength. Think about Moses the stutterer. He said, I'm not eloquent, neither heretofore nor since thou hast spoken to thy servant, but I'm slow of speech and a slow tongue. And God said, the Lord said unto him, who hath made man's mouth, or who maketh the dumb or deaf or the seeing or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go. That's what he said in the next verse. Quit, give me your excuses and go. And I will be thy mouth and teach thee what thou shalt say. David was not looked at by anybody else as anybody important. He was just the sheep herder. He was the guy watching the sheep. God told Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him, for the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. Think about the child with the lunch. He's not even named. But I think we'll know who he is when we're in heaven. I think the disciples will point him out. I think the multi-thousands of people will say, that my food came from that boy's little lunch. After preaching to thousands of people in the desert, Jesus' disciples said, what are we going to do? Nobody can eat. What they found was small and desperately insufficient, but Jesus' power was more than enough to feed the multitudes. Think about this. If Jesus is God, and he is God, amen? Can I try that one more time? Jesus is God, amen? If he's all-powerful, he could have chosen a different way of feeding all the people. He could have made manna fall from the sky. He'd done that before. But what he chose to do was use a little boy. We don't know anything about this boy other than that he was there and he had a lunch. I don't know why he was there. I don't know where his parents were. All we know is he had this lunch. With that lunch, Jesus performed one of the most well-known miracles of all time. And he could have chosen a different way, but Christ chose to use this child. Insufficient. Insufficiency is a prime qualification for those who will be used of God. Inability, insufficiency, weakness, frailty. Perfect for somebody to be used of God. God uses people who are admittedly weak, admittedly dependent upon him. Rather than praying for God to give you what you want, ask him to give you what you need. Ask God to give you what you need. Because you'll never find yourself in a trial in which your strength is not sufficient. You got to come to him with your stool. You got to come to him with your weakness, with your frailty, and say, God, I'm too weak. God, I'm not able. God, I need you to help me. And he's there. He's there with open arms, ready to help you and to empower you with his all-sufficient grace. Not just to get you through, but you'll come forth, as Job said, as gold. As gold. Every head bowed, every closed at this time. Our God in heaven, Lord, I pray that you'd help us to take these words from your
inspired word of God and the example of Paul and realize that maybe what you have in our lives is exactly what we need, but we need your strength through it. We need your strength to help in those areas. I don't know how people ought to respond to this, but Lord, we ought to respond to your word. So I pray you'd help us to do just that. And I pray this in your holy and precious name.